I don't know about the rest of you, but I sort of lost my religion or coveting there for a moment. You got a man that can sing and a man that can play an instrument like that. Thank you so much for being here with us today and just leading us in worship and praise. Please open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Best way to go is start at the beginning of your book in the Old Testament. You start in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you get in Joshua, Judges. You'll hit a little book called Ruth, and then you're going to run into 1 Samuel. That's where we're going to be at today. You start running into the Chronicles and Kings. You've gone a little too far. You need to back up just a moment. But as you turn there to 1 Samuel, we're going to be in the first chapter. We're going to be looking at chapters 1 and 2, just in a quick overview of it. But and we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But today we're going to be talking on that topic, Mother's Day. And it's always an emotionally charged holiday. For some of us, we no longer have our mothers with us, and sometimes motherhood is a biological impossibility for some, and it becomes a troubling time to some in their hearts. Sometimes we have mothers in our lives that are abusive or just outright just absent in our lives. And sometimes motherhood is seen as an accident. And let me tell you, motherhood is not an accident. I want to make that clear. Maybe you've lived your life and you've had that in your life where somebody said you're just an accident. Let me make it very clear. You're not an accident. And I can prove it with the Bible to you. I mean, let me just read this. Psalms 139:13. It says, "For you formed me, my inward parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb." That was God's direction. You're no accident. Psalms 127:3, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Mother's Day can be difficult because sometimes you've lost a child or given up a child in your life. And it can be a very emotionally charged event in our churches, sometimes more so than Christmas or Thanksgiving when we think about our mothers being lost. Sometimes this day is just one of those things that it tears our hearts up. And even in the best of circumstances, motherhood is no bed of roses, is it, ladies? Not only are you putting up with your own children, but you're putting up with a very large child who lives in your home who's supposed to be a parent with you. And sometimes they make it a little thorny in life, don't they? We're going to be looking at Hannah's story today. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, who was the last of the judges, and I believe the beginning of the prophets, if you will, because the prophets were brought along in Samuel to help when the kingdom came in. He ushered in the kings, if you will. God used him to anoint Saul and then to anoint David to be the kings as they had chosen to go down that route instead of God. And we praise God for such men who would hold the king accountable. These prophets were the ones who would boldly charge in, scared to death, and would boldly go into the throne rooms of kings and tell them and speak of them, of what God had planned and what God's purpose was for them. And as we look at this today, as we think about motherhood, you know, much can be said about how people move and affect society through political clout and judicial leadership or even military force. Today we're going to look at a woman who shaped Israelite society through prayer, faith, and motherhood. And we'll be in 1 Samuel. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read through a large portion. Then we'll go back and we'll break it apart and look at further. But if you would look at your Bibles in chapter 1, it says, "Now there was a certain man from Ramathian Zophon, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zephon, the Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you may have ask of him. She said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come this day before you, Lord. We're seeking your presence here in this place, Lord. Fill us afresh and anew that we might be able to see and hear the word of God, Lord. Anoint me with a double portion, Lord, that I may speak your words and not my own. Lord, help us to see and understand this greatness of your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I look into this, let me make something very clear. Hannah's story is by no means a formula for overcoming infertility. If you look at this and you heard this at the beginning when it said in verse 5 of chapter 1, it tells us that God closed her womb. It wasn't an issue of her choice. It wasn't an issue of her biological body that was doing this. This was an issue that the Lord had done. So please, when you look at this, and I've tried to counsel people that try to use this as some kind of formula. If I do this, then God will give me children. I think there's some insight into this that irregardless if God ever gives you children, that women and men, you as well, can learn from this great woman of God that we see. We see this story in the first couple of verses. Elkanah, a godly man, he dedicated his life to worship of the Lord and had two wives. One was barren, that was Hannah, and she was barren by the will of the Lord. And she was the favored wife of Elkanah. But Peninnah, the second wife, she had many sons and daughters, and she was a bitter rival of Hannah and her favored position. It's a familiar story we see off and on. Look at Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. I mean, there's a lot to be said, men, about this idea of wanting more than one woman in your life. God had laid it down, and so did Jesus Christ, one man and one woman for life. But we see some godly principles that we can glean from Hannah. She is a woman of prayer. In verse 9 it said, Then Hannah rose up after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and she prayed, and she went to the temple, and she prayed. She greatly distressed. She prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come to his head. Hannah spent time with God. Ladies, you've got to spend time with God. It's hard enough just to be an individual in this world, but if you've got people in your life that you're trying to minister to, whether it's your children or the children of other folks, you've got to spend time with God. It's got to be an essential part. Now, this wasn't just a prayer off of her hip. This was a prayer of a woman who has spent time with God over and over. My question is, do you spend quality time with God seeking to know Him intimately? As Hannah had done, seeking to know Him through His Word and in prayer. We find in verses 12 through 18, Hannah was in such a spiritual communion with the Lord, Eli the priest could not even understand what was going on in her life. That's how much she was in depth in God and trying to pray. And really, Hannah was more spiritual than Eli. And you can go on and you can look at Eli's history and his own son's histories. But she was growing so close to the Lord that even the priest couldn't discern what was taking place. And when he talked to her about being drunk, she said, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She left prayer. Now listen to this. She left prayer. Hannah went away from this moment with the Lord, utterly content in Him, completely and utterly dependent and trust upon the Lord. She left with no answer for her prayer and no promise of the future. She simply left content in the Lord. That's a big deal, folks, to be content in the Lord. Paul even addressed this in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. He said, whether I'm in humble means or in prosperity, in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus Christ is the secret of contentment in our life. He is the one thing we need more than anything else. More than wealth. More than prosperity. More than possessions. He is that one thing that will fill our lives where none of these other things can fill, even children. God will bring that contentment, and it was through the cross. Jesus will fill us when we're in the unknown. As we look in 19 through 20 of 1 Samuel, it says, the Lord remembered Hannah, and she had a son, Samuel. Samuel's name means to ask, and God answers. It's got two meanings in it. It means to ask of God. And it's also an answer of God. And one way that one commentary had laid out, it's because I have asked Him of the Lord. What a name. What a name to have. What a name to place upon your child. Because I have asked Him of the Lord. Also, another principle we can find from Hannah is she is a woman who cares for the gift of the Lord. And we see this over and over again throughout Scriptures. And we even see that children are a gift of the Lord. And she is to care for that. In verse 21, it says, then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now Hannah was devoted herself to the care of this child and his well-being. And now she was not being selfish by not going up there because she had promised the next time she comes, when she found out that she was pregnant, the next time that she would come before the Lord, when she had her child, was when she would give him up. Now, some people would look at this and, oh, she was just being selfish. She didn't want to give up her child. You got to think, this is an infant. They would nurse their children to about the age of 3 back then, and it was to give them the best opportunity that they could have in life. I mean, children, they didn't have the vaccinations. They didn't have all these things. So it was a natural part. She would wean him about the age of 3. It was a better survival rate. And Hannah was a woman of her word. She went up and she gave him up to the Lord. But when she went up, we see this. She was a woman of worship and sacrifice. In verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull, 1 ephah of flour, and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. Now I want you to understand that she is a woman of worship and sacrifice. It was normal when you did this process of sacrifice, and especially with a child in tow, you would come up on this yearly and you would bring a young bull, 1/3 of an ephah of flour and 1/3 jug of wine. She was gone for 3 years. This is how we understand, I believe, that it was a 3-year process before she brought her child back. And if you go into the Hebrew, the idea wasn't just a... There's a debate whether was it a 3-year-old bull that she had set aside for her sacrifice that she waited till he was 3, or normally you brought a 1-year-old bull. And the idea in Hebrew is that she possibly had brought 3 bulls during that time. 3 bulls, and not just 1/3 of an ephah of flour, but a full ephah of flour, a full measure. 1 jug of wine, not just 1/3 of it. She was making up for missed worship. She was coming there to worship God. She wasn't there just to sometimes we get in this idea that we can, well, I'm just going to do extra worship and God will give me what I want. No, she was fulfilling her worship. She missed that time, that yearly event where she got to go up to God and make these sacrifices, and she was making up for lost time. She was a woman of her word, and she was a woman of worship and of great sacrifice. Are you dedicated to serving the Lord as He commands? Are you fulfilling what He's called you to do as Hannah? She is a woman dedicated to the Lord. Look at verse 26. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." Hannah first dedicated her life to the Lord. Then she dedicated her son. You know, we in the Baptist church, we're a little different than some of our brothers and sisters in Christ of the other denominations. They baptize babies, and I don't agree with that. They call it what they want to, and they call a child or baby dedications. You know, we call it baby or child dedication here, but I want you to understand child and baby dedication isn't about the child. It's about the parents. It's about a parent dedicating their life to the Lord that they may raise up this child that God's gifted them with. That's what parent and child dedication is about. It's really a parent and child, or parent and baby dedication. And we need to remember that. We need to dedicate ourselves to this life that God has given us into our hands. Have you set yourself apart for the Lord? You must set yourself apart first before you can ever do it for another. She is a woman of praise. I mean, you can go in. This is your homework, folks, for tonight. Go into 1 Samuel chapter 2, the beginning part of it. And I'm just going to read just a couple of verses here of it. And just see this praise, this Hannah song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like you, Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly, but not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed." You know, and it goes on, and she's just this woman, she's just pouring her heart out to God in praise and in worship. Oh, she just glorified God every opportunity that she had. We see that she is also a woman dedicated to her children, especially this child, Samuel. And in chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, it said, "Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod." This was a special garment that those who worked around the tabernacle, when they worshiped the Lord, that these priests and these Levites and these people that were especially set apart for this, they had to dress appropriately. Now, the people who dressed there and dressed appropriately were always adults. So they had this young child, and Hannah, each year she would come, and she would make a linen ephod for him to fit him until the following year. She'd make it too big where the sleeves were a little too long. It was a little too long on the bottom, and he'd walk around, but he would grow into it. And about the time she came back around, it was time, and she had made him another one that would fit him because he couldn't wear the adult size, if you will. She came there to care. She was dedicated to her child, and she would make it year after year. Though Samuel no longer lived at home, she continued to minister to him. Perhaps you've got grown children. Folks, sometimes you've got grown children. They've gone the direction that they wanted to go. Listen, you can still minister to them. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can give them wise counsel. Even though they're grown up and out of the house, gone to college, graduated, married, have children of their own, you can still counsel them. But there's a fine line between counseling and interfering, so be careful. There's a fine line between meddling and ministering. You've got to be the judge of that. Be wise. I think if you're in prayer and you're in the Word of God, you'll know the difference. She is a woman who is blessed. Verse 20 of chapter 2, it says, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one you dedicated to the Lord." And they went to their own home. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Hannah was blessed with far more than what she gave up. Blessed by a closer walk with the Lord. Blessed with knowing she did all she could give to her child, the best of herself. Blessed with knowing her child can never look at her and say she never told him. Ladies and men, this goes for you. We've got a responsibility to our children. I know from my heart, I don't want to one day stand before God after being judged and sit over and watch my child come up behind me and him look at me or my daughter look at me and saying, he never told me. He never shared with me. He never prayed with me. He never opened up the Word with me. Ladies, be a woman of the Word. Be a woman of prayer and share it with your children. I know sometimes you're thinking, well, they're just an infant. They won't understand. Yes, it doesn't matter. The seeds are planted. Sing the songs of praises to God. Read the Word to them. Explain it to them in words that they can understand. Pray with them. Show them how to pray. And tell them about the God that made them and created them and gave them to you as a gift. Man, this is a lot we can learn as well. To understand what a blessing of the Lord that we have. I know there's some here who've never been mothers. And there's some of you here who've been mothers on several occasions. Whether you're a mom, a stepmom, or a woman with a concerned heart for a younger generation, your life lived before God, dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, has a potential for a lifetime upon multitudes of generations to come. Some of you are moms and grandmoms to countless numbers of children that you've never gave birth to. I know in my own life, and men, I know men, every one of you, you can remember all those ladies in your life, can't you? Whether it's your mom, your grandma, that Sunday school teacher, that lady down the street that just was there, that ministered to you, that you knew was praying. I know in the ministry I've had the opportunity to live far away. But you know what God has always done when I've given up a mom? He's provided more moms than I can count. He's provided more grandmothers to my children than I can even imagine. We have these countless people in our lives. Maybe God's not blessed you, ladies, with having a child of your own, but listen, you can minister to the children of others. You can pray with them and pray for them. Ministering to them inside the church and outside the church. Giving your heart to them. And making an eternal impact for the kingdom. There's a lot more to being a mom than just giving birth to a child. And I say this reluctantly, and I think it's true, and many of you ladies would admit to this. Giving birth to a child is a lot easier than raising that child, isn't it? It is, because, I mean, that pain only lasts for a little while. That 9 months, it goes by and it moves on. But the next 70 years of that child's life, 80 years of that child's life, are the hardest times. Because there'll be times that you'll weep and you'll mourn and you'll cry over them. You'll rejoice with them. And then you'll weep and you'll mourn and then you'll rejoice again. There's a lot more to being a mom than just giving birth to a child. And if you dedicate yourself to the Word of God, to prayer, God will give you the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to be the woman of God you need to be. And you need to remember this too as well. When your child grows up and he moves on, or she grows up and moves on, and they begin to make the choices that are counter to what you've raised them in, listen, they'll be accountable to God for themselves, both good and bad. But please stand before God one day with full confidence that you did all you could do for them in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for the story of Hannah, Lord, how she found contentment in you, Lord, as we are to find contentment in Jesus Christ and our God and our Father. Lord, we pray in this time that you would minister to our hearts, Lord, both the women as well as the men, Lord. There's much that we men can glean from Hannah's life, her dedication to her God. And I believe she was that kind of woman. She could look at Samuel and say, I love my God more than I love you, Samuel. But because I love him more, I can love you even better. What a woman of commitment to the Lord. May we all glean from her, Lord. May we understand better through your Word of what greatness that you've brought into our lives through motherhood. Lord, each and every one of us have mothers in our lives, whether it be the biological mother or the numerous and countless women that have just impacted us over the years. Lord, may we honor you and glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure where you are, how you're dedicated to the Lord, what you're missing out on, the contentment that you need in your heart. This is a time to make your decision.